Right, tonight's message is Uriah, a faithful man. Now, David in the Old Testament was a man after God's own heart. God had chosen David to replace Saul as king. 1 Samuel 13:14. You know, David showed that he was a man after God's own heart. He had faith and trust in God when he faced, for instance, Goliath, the Philistine giant. By faith in God, he took him down. You know, he showed that he was a man after God's own heart by not touching Saul, God's anointed, even though Saul was after David. He was forgiving towards Saul. But tonight we're going to read in Samuel 11, and it's sad to say that in 2 Samuel 11, where we're going to read tonight, David became a man so far from the heart of God. And really, Uriah the Hittite is shown to be a man after God's own heart. So tonight we're going to turn to 2 Samuel 11, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17. In the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. Rabbah was a major city of the Ammonites. David remained in Jerusalem. Verse 2 of 2 Samuel 11. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home, so he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Now it's interesting that Uriah is referenced as Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was probably a Canaanite by birth, but some commentators believe that he converted to the Jewish faith and became a follower, a worshiper of God. And boy, was this a faithful man. We're going to read here in the upcoming verses. Boy, could you see that Uriah, as we'll read, was a worshiper of Yahweh by his faithfulness. You see, David was trying to get Uriah to go back home to his wife Bathsheba and sleep with her, so it would appear that the child that was conceived was Uriah's. So we're going to jump to verse 11 here. Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house and eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Boy, this was a faithful man. Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the morning, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat amongst his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, "Put Uriah out in the front where the fighting is the fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. David asked Uriah, why didn't you go home? And how did Uriah respond? He said in verse 11, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Job and my Lord's men, Job's men, are camped in the open country. How could I go home to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. Basically, the way Uriah responded to David about not going home was this. He was saying, you know, David, Job's military officers are in harm's way. They're in a dangerous place. I cannot get too far away from them. I am faithful to my soldiers that I'm fighting with. I can't leave them in harm's way. You see, Uriah was a faithful man. He was faithful in service to Israel fighting against the Ammonites. And he was saying, David, I am faithful to you in service to you as king of Israel. I can't leave. I can't go home and indulge my selfish desires of eating and drinking and making love to my wife while my fellow military officers are in harm's way. You see, Uriah was a faithful and loyal man. You see, not much is said in the scripture about Uriah. We hear about him in 2 Samuel 11, and later on we hear of him as one of David's mighty men. But the little said of Uriah speaks volumes of his godliness. He was faithful. He was a man after God's own heart of faithfulness. It's as if in 2 Samuel 11, the designations between David and Uriah were switched. In 2 Samuel 11, it's as if David became a man so far from the heart of God, but Uriah was shown to truly be a man after God's own heart of faithfulness. We don't hear much about him, but he is an unsung hero. This is called God's camp. Uriah was part of God's camp. He was faithful just as God is faithful. And if you accepted Christ, if you accepted Christ and are making him Lord, then you also are a part of God's camp, like Uriah was a part of the camp of God. And faithfulness has got to be a character trait of yours, just like Uriah had faithfulness. You see, God is faithful. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13:35 that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He sent Jesus over 2,000 years ago to die upon a cross for our sins, so that by faith in Jesus, we would not have to die in hell. God is faithful to us. He has got our back, and we must be faithful to God in return. Our attitude to God has got to be, God, I surrender my life to your will. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Uriah had the character trait of faithfulness. He was faithful to his fellow military officers. He was faithful to Israel. He was faithful to David, the king of Israel. And we have got to be faithful and loyal to the God we serve.
Amen.
If you claim that you follow Jesus, then you've got to be faithful to Jesus, the Son of God. How do we demonstrate our faithfulness to Christ? How do you and I demonstrate our faithfulness, our loyalty to Jesus Christ? By making him Lord over every part of our being. Making Jesus Lord, Master. This is what Lord is. Lord is Master. It's Commander, Supreme in Authority. It's making Jesus the Master of your thoughts. Are your thoughts Christ-like, like Jesus? Pure, like Jesus? It's making Jesus Lord over your body. Is what you do with your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, holy and pure? It's making Jesus Lord over your spirit. Who rules and reigns on the throne of your heart? It should be Jesus Christ. So, you show your faithfulness, your loyalty to Jesus Christ by making him Lord over every part of your being, including your relationships. Including your relationships. I'm going to read an illustration here about loyalty and faithfulness. I think you'll find this interesting. A shepherd and a small dog once came to live in the city of Edinburgh, Scotland. The animal was so loyal to the owner that he followed him everywhere. Sometime later, the man died and was buried in a local cemetery. Hardly anyone noticed the little dog trailing behind the mourners, but after they left, the dog sat on the shepherd's grave. He stayed there not for a day, a week, or a month, but the rest of his life. Interested people gave him food and water, and he never left the spot where his master was laid to rest. After 12 years, he finally died at his post of vigilance. That was faithfulness. That's the same way we need to be faithful to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We need to make him master and Lord over every part of our existence, including our human relationships. Remember, Uriah belonged to the camp of God. He was faithful. He was godly. But sad to say, there's another camp in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's the world's camp, of which David and Bathsheba were a part. The world's camp. What does John write in 1 John 2:16? He said, "For everything in the world," he writes, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from God, but from the world." Man, John writes, 1 John 2:16, "But everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from God, but from the world." David, in this passage, he fit John's description of the world perfectly, it's sad to say. I mean, he lusted after, he was looking at Bathsheba, he was lusting with his eyes. She was bathing, and he looked. And with his eyes, he lusted, and he lusted. He sent for her. She consented. They both fell prey to the lust of the flesh. And they committed adultery. They sinned. They fell deep into the pit of despair and sin. And then David, in his pride, to cover the adultery, did what? He had Uriah murdered. I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, that if you are fellowshipping with those Davids and Bathshebas of 2 Samuel 11, they can drag you into a miry pit of sin. They really can. So if you're hanging around with the wrong crowd and they're drinking on Friday nights and you're drinking with them, you get so drunk, you're hungover all day on Saturday. They're dragging you into a pit of despair and sin. Maybe that person is seducing you on the weekends and you're sleeping with that person who's not your spouse. That person is dragging you into a pit of sinfulness. But friendship with the godly will take you higher in your walk with God. So today, listen to this word. So today, starting tonight, start making Jesus Lord over your relationships and come out from amongst them and be ye separate, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:17. If you say that you're following Jesus, if you say that you are a committed, devout disciple of Jesus Christ, then you need to make him Lord and master and controller over your relationships. The wrong relationships will drag you deep into the pit of sins. But the right relationships, those godly relationships, relationships with those who love Jesus, will draw you deeper into your walk with Christ.
Amen.
Is that good news here tonight?
That's good
news. Maybe you've walked away from the world's camp, the camp of the Davids and the Bathshebas. And maybe that camp, those Davids, those Bathshebas of 2 Samuel 11, maybe they're calling you a religious nut for walking away. Maybe they're calling you a prude. And maybe they're trying to draw you back into their sinful world. You've got to stand your ground. They're trying to get you to drink on Friday nights. If they're trying to get you to sleep around with somebody who's not your spouse, you need to stand your ground and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I thank you that you can give me the empowerment of your spirit. Stand your ground. When they try to suck you back in, turn your head the other way and walk away from that world's camp. You need to be a standout believer for Jesus Christ. Say with me tonight, I want to be a standout believer for my Savior and my Lord, Jesus Christ. So, here for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about some practical tips for finding the Urias. Uriah represents one who is serious about God. Uriah represents the camp of God, those who are faithful. How many here want to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. You've got to find the right godly spiritual relationships. Find those that love God. Find those that really serve Jesus. Find those that are thinking about others beyond themselves. So, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about practical tips for finding the Urias, those devoted purely to God. First of all, first practical step for finding those good godly relationships is you got to pray. Prayer is communication with God. You talk with God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I'm trying to find the right relationships. God, I thank you that you will lead me to the people who are right for me. What does the Word of God say in Philippians 4:6? Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You've got to present your petition, your request to God. And I guarantee if you talk to God, that's what prayer is. It's communicating with God like you communicate with a friend. If you talk to God and say, God, I need to find that godly person or persons to be part of my life. God, I can't do it on my own. God, I pray that you lead me across that person's path. I'm here to tell you tonight that God hears and God will answer your prayer. First practical step, you've got to pray to find out that Uriah, that person who worships God, that person who is of the camp of God, that person who is faithful like God is faithful. Second, you have got to frequent the correct locations. If you are frequenting bars, most likely you're not going to find a Uriah there. A godly person there. It's possible. But if you're frequenting bars all the time, guess what? You're going to find people who most likely are of the camp of the world, according to 1 John 2:16. Instead of frequenting the wrong places, like a bar, you've got to frequent the right places, the right locations. What locations am I talking about? You've got to be frequenting a church. You've got to be visiting a church on a consistent basis. And I understand that you have church here every night, but it's also good on a Sunday morning to be going to a church outside of John 3:16. You can go to a Sunday school class in that church. That's a great location to find godly people who are serious about God. A Sunday school class. A small group Bible study. And I guarantee you, there's people studying the Bible in a small group and going to Sunday school. They're pretty serious about God. They're wanting to learn more about God and Jesus Christ. And those are the right places to find the Urias, the godly, those who are faithful. You can't be visiting a church just once in a blue moon. You hear people say, you know, I go to church at Easter. I go to church at Thanksgiving. I go to church at Christmas. 3 times a year is not going to cut it. You've got to be going to church on a consistent basis every week. You got to try to find a Sunday school class within that church, a small group Bible study within that church, and find somebody that you can really connect with, somebody who's strong after God in one of those groups. Start talking with them. Have lunch with them. Start developing a relationship. And as you develop that relationship, that person can take you to a higher plane spiritually in your walk with the Almighty God. Is that good news here tonight?
Yes, sir.
So you've got to frequent the right locations. And then you've got to look for the godly qualifications. The godly qualifications. You're thinking tonight, what do you mean by that? Well, you've got to find people in those churches, in those Sunday school classes, that will encourage you to pray. You know, those who are of the world's camp, those who are of the camp of the Davids and the Bathshebas of 2 Samuel 11 will encourage you to gossip and speak ill of others. But if you find somebody with a godly qualification, that person, instead of encouraging you to gossip, will encourage you to pray. You might even talk to them about having a prayer time for 20 or 30 minutes a week, encouraging you to pray and build your spiritual life with the God that we serve and that created us. You see what I'm saying? The people that you associate with will determine what you become. The people that you fellowship with, you become like. The people that you're spending the majority of your time with, you eventually will become like those people. Don't let the world's camp try to draw you back into it. Turn your head and go the other way. Be a standout believer of Jesus Christ. Cry out to God and say, God, in my own human flesh, I can't do this. My flesh wants to indulge my own selfish human desires. God, I can't do this on my own in my flesh. And God will give you the divine enablement and empowerment of His Spirit to say no to the world's ways and to go to the camp of God. Another godly qualification in the persons you're looking for to fellowship with is that the godly will encourage you to read the Word on a consistent basis. That person that you're developing, that godly person, maybe that you found at the church, at a Sunday school class, and you're talking with occasionally, will encourage you to get into the Word of God. You know, the world is going to try to encourage you to do what? The world in the world's camp, the Davids and the Bathshebas of 2 Samuel 11 will encourage you to get into the media, to always read the bad news, depressing, oppressive. But those who have this godly qualification, those who are godly and following hard after God, will encourage you, instead of getting into the media and into the bad news, they'll be encouraging you to get into the greatest book of all, the Word of God. The good news. Not once in a blue moon, not at Easter and Christmas only. You've got to be getting into the Word of God on a consistent basis. And if that person, that godly person you're in fellowship with, is telling you, you know, Jack or Sally, you got to get into the Word consistently, well, that person is then good for you, encouraging you to feed off the Word of God on a consistent basis. Because the books you read, the media that you're into, will determine how you think and how you go spiritually.
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ your Lord, your Master? Then you need to make Him Lord and Master over your relationships. You make Him Lord and Master over your relationships by finding those people who are stronger than you spiritually. Final godly qualification in somebody that you should be fellowshipping with is that somebody who is godly and is good for you and that you should be fellowshipping with will encourage you to reach out beyond yourself to others who are in greater need than you. You know, the world's camp, the Davids and the Bathshebas of 2 Samuel 11 will tell you what? If it feels good, then just do it. The world's camp will tell you what? Indulge your fleshly desires. But what does God's camp say? The Uriahs of God's camp, what do they say? They say, you know what? Don't indulge your fleshly desires. Reach out beyond yourself. Put your selfish desires to death. And that's exactly what happened to Uriah. Uriah was what? At the very end here that we read in verse 17, I believe it is. Uriah died. He died a physical death. He died a physical death. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that if you're going to grow in your walk with God and make Jesus Lord over your relationships, the person who is good for you and has got this godly qualification will encourage you to put death to those selfish desires that want to pop their ugly head. I'm talking about making godly friendships tonight. Stepping away from the wrong crowd. You can find some of them here at the mission as well. Maybe amongst the students, but you need to be going beyond and outside of the mission too. Like, as I said, a church outside, independent of this campus. Amen?
Amen.
If Jesus is your Lord and your master, then he has got to be Lord and master over every part of your life, including your relationships. Because the wrong relationships will drag you into the pit of sin. But the right godly relationships will take you higher in your walk with God, in your friendship with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You will go the way of the people that you fellowship with. You will become like the people with whom you hang out with. Start finding good friends. You know, making Jesus Lord over your relationships is not something that's going to happen overnight. You can start tonight, but it's going to be a process. You've got to, as I said, frequent the right places. You've got to look for the right qualifications. Amen?
Amen.
It's a work in progress. Making Jesus Lord over your life, over your relationships, doesn't happen overnight. It's the work of a lifetime. Is that good news?
Yes.
Did that make sense here tonight?
Yes.
All right.
It usually does.
All right. In closing it tonight, if there's anybody here who's never accepted Jesus as your Savior, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.
I do it again.
You've never accepted, ma'am? We'll get to that in just a second. This lady here in the front, you're wanting to accept Christ for the first time or recommit your life? Recommit your life?
No.
Are you wanting to accept Jesus?
No.
For the first time?
No.
Anybody in the room here tonight wanting to accept Jesus for the very first time? You've never accepted Christ in your life, but tonight you want to do it for the very first time. You've never accepted Christ. All right, maybe there's some of you out there that did accept Jesus. You were following God, but maybe tonight you've slipped away and you're doing your own thing. You've slipped into this miry pit of sin, and tonight you want to re-give, rededicate, recommit your life back to Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Those raising their hands, stand up tonight. Let's be standout believers for Jesus Christ. All right. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? All right. Anybody else? If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit that you need to re-give, recommit your life back to Jesus, don't ignore His voice. Do what God is telling you to do tonight. Anybody else want to follow their lead? This is awesome. The angels right now in heaven are rejoicing. All right, those standing up, repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That you died upon the cross. For my sins. I followed you. At one time. But I've slipped away. I've said and done. Some bad things. But tonight. I say I'm sorry. I change my mind. From going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and Lord over every part of my life. My mind, my body, my spirit, and also be Lord of my relationships. Thank you, God, for bringing the right godly people into my life. I want to be faithful to you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I pray that you give me the strength to follow you,
all the days of my life,
on this earth. And when I leave this earth,
I thank you
that I'll be in heaven forever with you one day. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, some of the ways to remain close to Christ, those who regave your lives to Jesus tonight, for those people who stood up tonight and prayed that prayer of recommitment, some of the ways to remain close to Jesus is like we talked about, finding the right godly relationships, getting into the Word, praying to God, going to church services. Amen?
Amen.
May God richly bless you. Which brother here tonight is going to close off the service?
Larry,
he says. That was it. All right. All right, brother.